Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. Great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're turning through to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 again, but before we read our passage, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for another day. Thank You that we can open up Your Word together. And we do just pray that You would help us to dig into it and understand the truth that's found there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're looking at verse 10 and 11 today. To the married I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband should not divorce his wife. Divorce. Every time I speak about it, someone seems to get upset. I'm not sure why. Well, actually, no, I do know why. It's because the biblical understanding of divorce and remarriage is unbelievably countercultural today. It's incredibly countercultural. In fact, it goes completely against everything our society says is good. And in order to illustrate this, I thought I would highlight for us the New Zealand statistics on divorce. Now, going back to 1961, the marriage rate for every 1,000 people was 38.19, and the divorce rate was 3.2. So out of every 1,000 people, 38.19 got married, and 3.2 got divorced. Now, that was 1961. If we fast forward to the most recent year, which is 2021, we have the following statistics. Out of 1,000 people, 7.72 get married. Yes, you heard that right. We went from 38.19 down to 7.72, and the divorce rate, in the meantime, doubled from 3.2 to 6.2. So our marriage rates plummeted from 30-ish down to 7, and our divorce rates doubled from 3 to 6. Now, going from 3 to 6 may not sound like much, but if you consider how many people are getting married, so of 7 marriages out of every 1,000, 6 marriages are falling apart. For every 7 getting married, there are 6 divorces taking place. That means one marriage, statistically, unless I'm butchering my statistics, and I didn't do statistics in school, so someone can message me and tell me I've got this wrong, but that means out of 1,000, there's only one marriage increasing every year in New Zealand, if we continue at the 2021 rates. Divorce is held very lightly, and it tracks this way back to when we had what's called the no-fault divorce. In other words, it became a very easy thing to become divorced, and marriage has become exceedingly lightly held. The Bible will have none of it. Paul says here, notice Paul's command. Paul commands, wife, don't separate from your husband. Husband, don't divorce your wife. If she does, she should remain unmarried or be reconciled. So, what's the command here? The command is, don't get divorced, don't separate. If for any reason you do, don't get remarried. Seek to become reconciled. That's the command. Now, notice the grounding for this command that Paul gives. Paul says, this is not my command, but the Lord's command. He says, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. What's he talking about? Well, he's rooting what he's saying. He's adding extra weight behind it and saying, this doesn't just come from me, this comes from the scriptures. And it doesn't just come from the scriptures, it comes from the Lord himself. Now, why would he say that? Well, I think two reasons. Firstly, all the way back in Genesis, God said, a man shall leave his mother and father and be cleaved to his wife. Why is that significant? Well, the one relationship which you can never really dissolve is what? Your relationship to your parents, right? Even if you hate your parents, you cannot deny the fact that they created you. That they are by nature your mother or father. Whether they act like it or not has no bearing on the fact that they created you. And yet God says, a man shall leave even that relationship in order to be cleaved to his wife. The union that takes place in marriage, in other words, is of more significance than your union to your parents by birth. So he roots it in Genesis, but then he also roots it in what Jesus says. And it's very important to understand this, that I think when Paul says, not I but the Lord, he's referencing both Genesis, but he's also especially referencing the words of Jesus. Do you remember Jesus was asked about divorce and remarrying? And Jesus said, a man ought not to do what God hasn't. What God has joined together, let not man separate. It says, divorce was given to you by Moses on account of your hardness of heart, not on account of the fact that it's a good thing, and that there is only one exception to the rule of being divorced and remarried, and that is adultery. Now, why is it important for us to understand that? Because Paul here, in this command, is not seeking to give this command without an exception. He's not expounding upon all the different details. He's giving a brief passing comment on the state of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. But notice also who this command is for. This command is for believers. How do we know that this command is for believers? Because in verse 12 onwards, he's going to deal with what do we do, and we'll look at this tomorrow, what do we do when we find ourselves in a situation where there's a believer and an unbeliever in an unequally yoked marriage. How do we think through that? And so he's going to address that, and so it's logical to understand that what Paul has in mind here, or who Paul has in mind here, is not an unequal marriage, but an equal marriage. A marriage in the Lord. Two believing people who have come together and are both following Christ, and he says those people ought not to be divorced or separated, and if they end up that way, if for whatever reason they end up separated, the goal is to be reconciled. The goal is not to go and find a new husband or wife. Now, this goes in the face of much Christian teaching now. It is commonplace to see divorces and remarrying in the church, and to see them celebrated, to hear people saying, oh, what a wonderful gift of grace that we can have our marriages fall apart and then remarry again. I've heard of churches where marriages have fallen apart in the church, and husbands and wives in the same church have married other people in the same church, which is an abomination. It ought not to be. Now, I am not talking about exceptions. I am not talking about what does happen and can happen in the way the Lord redeems wonderful situations. We're talking very simplistically about the commands given by God in his word. And the command is, do not get divorced. Do not separate. And if you do, be reconciled. Now, there's a whole bunch of what-ifs that follow that, isn't there? People are going to ask, what if someone's abusive? What if this? What if that? What if the... We're not talking about the exceptions. You see, we can't talk about exceptions unless we embrace the norm. What is the command norm? Well, the command norm is don't get divorced. It's a sin. And don't remarry, because that would be a sin too. But rather be reconciled. If we can embrace that, then we can talk about exceptions. Then we can talk about the what ifs. So how do we apply this? What difference does this make to us? I think I want to just suggest three very quickly. First, hold marriage in high esteem. This is something we can do in our society as a massive witness to our neighbors and our friends and our family. Hold marriage in very high esteem. Hold it as dearly as God holds it. Secondly, fight for marriages. fight for marriages. Fight for your own marriage. Fight for the marriage of your loved ones. Support one another. Encourage one another. Do everything you can to help marriages last. And part of that is helping people reconcile together. When a marriage falls apart, let the whole church come alongside the people and facilitate bringing them back together, even if it takes 20 years, bringing them back together again into a place of union and love together. And lastly, let us put away all worldly concepts of marriage and divorce. Don't listen to the world. Don't seek to understand what the world is doing and use that as our concept of how we think about marriage. The world has no comprehension of the design of husbands and wives and marriage and remarriage. I mean, let's be honest. The world thinks men can marry men. It's insane. Even nature itself says that's an abomination. Let us honor God first and what the Lord says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And let us passionately pursue that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know these things are not popular in the world, and yet at the end of the day, we want to honor you and do what your word says. So would you please help us to do that? We do pray for our marriages, that they might last, and that they might honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another day. I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon.